You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. It was important to get kids from Paradise, California, back to school after the campfire. And yesterday, that happened. Education and community leaders had organized a network of places to take in as many of the 3,500 boys and girls as planned to attend school. We're going to be joined in a few moments by Superintendent of the Butte County Office of Education, Tim Taylor. In the meantime, in the studio with me to begin the talk is Kendra Britt, the Community Affairs Director at the Placer County Board of Education, but she's been on loan to Paradise Unified School District as the Interim Public Information Officer. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, good morning.
Glad to have you here. And Tim Herrera is here, too. He is Communications Director for the Sacramento County Office of Education, also on loan and helping out in Butte County. Hi, Tim.
Hi, good morning.
So both of you were there yesterday. Share with me some stories. What did you see? What did you hear?
Well, actually, we've been there for a couple of weeks, shortly after the fire broke out. We've been pitching in, helping with school communications because it's just been such a massive, massive problem. It's a widespread community. And so we help to get information out to the families and the community and to the media locally and beyond.
Kendra, how did that happen? Did you see this disaster and just decide, I've got to go?
Yes, I first started off trying to help people locally and in my office in Placer that were now hosting displaced family members. So that was my first effort. And then I found out my colleagues were heading up to help as far as communications and public relations and helping manage the situation. They were just inundated with media requests, as you can imagine. A huge, huge onslaught of media trucks and camping out. And so I went up to help Butte County to help Tim, who was getting called up. He knows Tim Taylor previously from working together at Sacramento County. So right. We just went up and said, whatever you need. Excuse me. That was over 3 weeks ago, and they still need us.
Initially, this was about survival and just making sure people were getting out safely and the fire being put out. At what point, Tim, was there enough ability to stand up, look around, and say, we got to figure out how to get these kids back into a classroom, back with a teacher, back to some structure?
Well, I think the initial shock was just a real punch in the gut for people up there. And, you know, the survival was the first thing, getting people out, getting out of the smoke, finding a safe place to be, finding shelter. And then once people started to kind of get their faculties together, you know, the school community just got together right away and said, okay, our primary objective is to get kids in school as soon as possible. It won't be in their own regular school, but we have to get them in a setting with their teachers as fast as we can to give them some sense of normalcy or as normal as we can be. And so it started pretty quickly.
So tell me about the network, how far and wide kids are. And I've heard in some cases it might just be a couple kids in a classroom or in one group. In some situations, like the Paradise Elementary School, a lot of the school has been relocated.
Yes, yesterday was a big day for Paradise Unified School District. I think the hope of getting them back to a routine, kids love school, and so giving them something that they could look forward to, people were really, really looking forward to December 3rd. So Paradise Elementary School students started at a new school yesterday called Bird Street Elementary in Oroville. Some students went up to Cedarwood, which is the only school still standing in the Paradise Unified School District. That opened up in Magalia yesterday. Then we also have a shared facility in Durham. Durham Elementary opened their doors, so essentially two schools, one school within a school, basically, two principals sharing a campus. And then the 6th through 12th graders are doing an online learning model for the next 2.5 weeks until they can secure a brick and mortar location for them. So they will break in 2.5 weeks for a regularly scheduled holiday break. So it'll give the district officials some more time to secure a location for them.
Charter school students. There were a lot of them.
There were 1,000 charter school students displaced. And Margaret Fortune from the Fortune Charter Schools here in Sacramento went up, and I was in a meeting with them, all the charter leaders, and she helped facilitate temporary housing for all of these school sites. And I have to say that the community up there has really jumped in to help neighboring churches, you name it, wherever they could find space, they're putting kids there. And so you've got the 14 school districts up there, plus you have 19 different charter schools. And so all of this combined, and plus the private schools. And so they all had to scramble to find places to put these kids. And what's really great is yesterday we were at the Bird Street School, and, you know, it escapes me the name of the building down the street, which is associated with the church, was turned into a temporary school site. And so these teachers walked in, and the places were already filled with donated books, donated furniture, supplies. So these teachers walked in already with an outfitted classroom. And then you saw rows of backpacks, you know, all kinds of backpacks with, you know, superheroes and cartoon characters on the back, lined up on the floors everywhere so that each kid will have a backpack and supplies. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the outpouring of community spirit up there is tremendous. But I have to say, the outpouring of support from local counties, neighboring counties, the state, throughout the country has been fantastic.
Yeah, two moments that stood out for me yesterday at Bird Street Elementary. I mean, many, because it was such an emotional day reuniting these students when they saw the familiar yard duty welcoming them and seeing their teachers. It was incredible. And I think that was a sigh of relief for a lot of people who have been working so hard, tirelessly, at every hour of the day to get these facilities secured for December 3rd. Two moments stood out for me. I went into a classroom, and on the desk, individual little notes written, words of encouragement from another school. And when I looked at it, they were from Rockland Elementary. And so for me, that was, I mean, it kind of gives me tears now, because that was my connection to Placer, and to see that love being carried to those kids. The other moment is I saw a woman crying, and I went up and just gave her a hug. That's kind of what you do now up there. You just give people hugs. And I said, "What, you know, are you okay? Is this just hard to be back?" And she said, "No, I'm looking around in these books everywhere. Their shelves are just full of books." And I said, "Yeah, wasn't that here? I was actually thinking that was so neat. You came in and there was all these books." She goes, "No, I came in 3 days ago and these shelves were empty." She's a librarian. And so for her, she has a library again and she can do her job. And she was just so emotional. I mean, they were, you know, separated out by grade level and what's appropriate reading levels. And she was just so overwhelmed by that moment. It was incredible to see. So that was pretty special.
That's Kendra Britt. She is on loan from the Placer County Board of Education. The Rockland School she mentioned is in Placer County. She has been working as the interim public information officer as the schools reassemble in Butte County after the campfire. I'm also talking with Tim Herrera, who is communications director for the Sacramento County Office of Education, but he's taken a lead role helping out in Butte County. What were the students saying? You said it was emotional, but tell me more about that experience.
Well, it was interesting to watch the kids because they were so excited to see their friends and their teachers that they would leap into their teachers' arms, mm-hmm. you know, and they were so excited to see their friends. Yet you saw some kids who, you know, were kind of clutching their parents' legs a little bit tighter. And so they were really apprehensive because this is a school, but not their school. It was their friends, but they were in a different setting. And so it was foreign territory for them. But, you know, there's so much beneath the surface right now for these kids and well below the surface that another great part of the partnership with all of our counties is, and throughout the state, is we're all sending mental health specialists up there to work with these kids. And they'll be embedded there for a long, long time because these kids and the staff will need support for a long, long time. The emotional trauma that they've gone through is something we can't even fathom. So fortunately, there's just support everywhere for these folks.
How is this happening? Most of these children come from families that lost homes. And how are they not only living in a temporary situation, but then being moved to school and back? What's the bigger picture of that network?
It's a crazy amount of collaboration. You know, every morning I sit in on a conference call of all these different departments and agencies that are working together, whether it's housing and transportation and healthcare and fiscal services, and they're all coordinating an effort. You know, for the kids who have to go long distances, they're providing buses. They're working to provide gas cards for the families so that they can take their kids to school. It's just a tremendous amount of organization. And, you know, I have to say that the people from FEMA and the people from the Office of Emergency Services have taken such great leadership out there to show how to organize these things. But there's no playbook for a lot of these things. It's, you know, it's just been tremendous. And the impact has just been so great. And so a lot of it is kind of play as you go and figuring things out. But there's been great coordination to help all these families.
Are there specific needs right now?
How much time do you have?
Yeah. I think there's been such a mixed message about we have enough stuff, we need cash, versus there are needs for kids being back in school. So what can you just say to people who want to help?
I think that's a tough question right now, because I know everybody feels a call to help, but there, it is kind of at a point where we don't need more stuff right now, because these folks don't even have a place to store it if they were given it. So now what we need is places to put fifth wheels. A lot of the Paradise families are purchasing fifth wheels as their next form of housing to get them out of shelters and or hotels. So, you know, there's big needs like that. We had students traveling in from Sacramento and Redding yesterday that are still living with family members and doing the best they can. But it was important for the parents to get them to their school. So, you know, that's why gas cards are such a huge bonus for those families, to help them. With the holidays coming up, a lot of people want to help with holiday gift giving to give these kids a great Christmas. And so I think that's where some of the efforts are now, just because of the timing where we are.
I'm talking with Kendra Britt and Tim Herrera. Let's talk about the collaboration that's outside of the county and outside of those school districts.
Yeah, you know, last week, our superintendent, Dave Gordon, Sacramento County, and superintendents from Elk Grove Unified, Folsom Cordova, San Juan, and Center announced a sister schools program where students from our region are going to go up and visit with kids up in Butte County. Rallies. They might do it through Skype. They might do pen pals. But we're going to start establishing relationships that will carry through the school year. In fact, it starts this week, where we've got kids from Elk Grove and Center Joint Unify going up there, leadership teams, drill teams, dance teams, whatever, to go up there and just connect with these kids and give them that emotional connection and let them know that there are people their own age who care about them. Living down here.
I understand we have Superintendent from Butte County, Tim Taylor, on the phone with us. Hi, Tim. So glad you could make a few minutes to join us here.
How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
So glad to have you. And give us the bigger view, your experience of yesterday with the kids finally back in school.
Well, it was really heartwarming. That's the best word I can describe it. And to watch the parents who've gone through so much the last 3 weeks, get their kids ready for school, and then watch them walk away, you know, leaving their kids for the first time in 3 weeks. It's just like the first day of kindergarten with our own kids. So it was very powerful to watch that and very motivating. And then we did a lot of scrambling around, make sure teachers have everything they need. And we have great teams supporting them. And if teachers ask for something, we're running to stores to get it for them. So it's a great team effort up here, and it's wonderful to see the kids in class.
There have been some emotional moments in this hour, Tim, as Tim Herrera and Kendra Britt talk about the experience of putting this together. What kind of attendance did you have? Because I know there was some question about how many kids would actually be able to make it to school.
Yeah, I think across the board, between the charters and public schools, we'll probably hit 60%. You know, you got to know that some parents are still scrambling to get housing. I was at one school yesterday where kids got up at 3:30 from Rockland, Shingle Springs, and Stockton to get to school. That's how much it meant to them. So everyone's still struggling to get housing. There's nothing, I think, that's best for those kids to be back with their teacher and their friends. So parents are doing the best to do that. And I think the other challenge we have is there's a lot of traffic up here now. You pretty much displaced 25,000 or more people into Butte County, so we're not used to traffic. Here, traffic's usually a stop sign, so now it's a lot longer to get around. And we're very proud of the local bus system, because they are going to have free buses for the rest of the month to help us coordinate all this with the parents and kids.
Tim, you know, I was thinking about the last time that we had a couple conversations on the air on Insight, and I know you remember it well, too, because it was during the Oroville Dam crisis. And so many of the same families that just experienced the loss in the campfire had been evacuated and were going through the unknown struggle of that time, too. This is so much for people there. Can you give me a gauge of that and how you help the grown-ups and the kids through it all?
Well, we're very resilient. I would say the people up here are really tough. But I think what we have to step back prior to the dam and prior evacuation and prior to this, our county was had the highest childhood trauma rates in the state. So our county was the highest, higher than L.A., San Diego, the Bay Area. As a rural community dealing with high unemployment, a lot of drug and alcohol issues here, and really lack of resources that you would see, such as in Sacramento, we were already dealing with that. And then we had the evacuation of the dam, which was traumatic. We've had three other fire evacuations in parts of the county. I think I've had one district that's been evacuated five times since February 2017. Mm-hmm. A little banger, which has about 80 kids. And then now this. And so all the trauma specialists from throughout the country are saying there's not a blurred line anymore. What we've faced here will need a lot of resources and help. And this trauma and child rate scoring that you get comes based out of research out of San Francisco. And it's kind of the way they're driving mental health in communities. And there's a lot of we've set a nice foundation to address that. But now we've really got our hands full with what happened on November 8th.
Sometimes in this window of immediate post-survival, looking ahead can mean just getting through the day or getting through a couple hours. So is your school plan right now, Tim, really just to get the kids steadied up to the holidays, just get to Christmas or holiday break?
Yeah, our intention is really to provide them with the security and safety that schools provide. And then the hope will come as we rebuild and as we expose children to great things that really are dear to them, like the arts, you know, dance, music, singing. I just popped into a class, though, and the teacher was doing a great lesson with the kids. Kids were dialed in. I'm going to walk over to a little school right now, and I've got letters from throughout the country that I'm going to hand out to kids, and the principal just started crying because that's what the kids really need is the humanness of love from outside of what we got here. And so looking forward to doing that. I just got a letter. You'll love this, Seth. My assistant just came in. A school in Provence, France, an international bilingual school with 70 different nationalities, has made cookies and has raised money. That's the cutest little picture. I'll try to get it faxed over to you guys, put on your website. These four kids, they bake cookies in France and are sending us gift cards for kids. And she put, the strength of Butte and the humility has led us into the holiday season with the hope for a brighter future. We wish you all good health, comfort, and the quickest possible return to normalcy. And so the videos that we've been putting up have been reached all the way to France, and very touching. Gosh, those cookies look good. And actually, right. on the cookies, it says Butte 2018. Mm. Isn't that nice? Mm. That's beautiful. I just got this a second ago. I wanted to read that to you from a teacher in Provence, France.
Yeah, I think the world has felt connected in its heartbreak and then in turn its hope for the area. So, Kendra, what about those conversations about the holidays or beyond, about rebuilding or seeing a new vision of the community? Are you hearing that?
Yes, I think that's one of the most important things is, especially with the start of school yesterday, is I think that was the first day truly of the road to recovery. I think getting the kids back to their safe place, seeing the parents, the joy in their faces, of seeing their kids happy again. And so I think that was a big turning point. That was a big day for us, you know, and then we'll go a couple weeks and then have a break again. I personally feel that there will be another influx of students coming back January 7th when we return after the holidays. I think some people just needed more time, like Tim said, to get housing situated to, you know, the fire started the weekend of Veterans Day, and then it came up, you know, Thanksgiving holiday was shortly after. So I think some people just went away for a while to just kind of figure out what their next steps are. And once they see the schools are in place, you know, things are moving forward, it'll help everyone have a sense of hope to rebuild that community. Because, you know, if you have kids going to a school, the school is usually a big part of a community. And I think that was a big turning point yesterday.
All right. That is Kendra Britt. She has been on loan in Butte County from Placer County Board of Education. I've been talking with Tim Herrera, who also is on loan there from Sacramento County. And Tim, just a real quick note, if other schools want to get involved and somehow give or connect,
why don't they just call the Sacramento County Office of Education? Okay. They can find my number and I can connect them with the people up in Butte County. Now, like I say, the outpouring has been tremendous, but the need is great for these kids to connect with other kids, and it would be really helpful.
All right.
Beth, on that note, I'm going to meet with a group of kids from Paradise High who develop a wall of these letters to keep up for a couple months. And they're going to get very artistic, and we're actually going to post photos and send them back to the school that sent them throughout the world. So we're going to try to keep these things up so they don't just get tossed in, on a shelf at our county office here.
I think it's inspiring, and that inspiration will be needed for a long, long time.
Can I tell you one great story? Do you have time or do you have to go?
Go ahead, Tim.
So the maintenance guy at Core Butte Charter introduced himself yesterday, and there's a photo of the principal, a teacher, and him with fire extinguishers and a hose and the raging fire coming at their campus, and they single-handedly pushed that thing back and actually, I think, helped save the school. And as the principal and sub left to go make sure the kids got, the maintenance guy stayed. And next door was a mobile home with over 100 seniors in there. He personally went over there, and he decided to put them on the school grounds because of the blacktop and handed out bottled water and stuff. And would have never found out that story because he's too humble, but his principal had me introduce him. And I just think there were so many stories up the hill that you'll hear about over the next year.
Right.
But for a man to do that, and with all the mayhem up there, and really not to even ask for any accolades or anything, he just did it, really took me back yesterday. I was in the middle of his gym with 300 kids, and looking at that guy, I just said, God, you're a true hero. So there's so many great educators and first responders to things, and that one in particular really was great. And we thank you for all the support in Sacramento. You guys have been wonderful. Really appreciate it.
All right, Tim, great to talk to you. I look forward to doing it again as we continue to hear the progress. And good luck in these next couple weeks of school up there. It's always a pleasure to have you on Insight.
Thank you, Beth. Have a good day.
That is Superintendent of the Butte County school system, which is now getting back on its feet after day one of classes yesterday. That was Tim Taylor. Kendra? Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays
to you.
You too. This is Insight on CAP Radio.